The world scoffs at those of us who believe in Noah's flood. The world doesn't want to believe in the flood. It was a judgment. The world doesn't want to believe in a flood because that would destroy their millions of years. The world doesn't want to believe in Noah's Ark. It was a picture of Jesus, a picture of salvation.
Glorifying God, proclaiming truth, and reclaiming America for Christ. This is Truths That Transform. Your host is Dr. D. James Kennedy, pastor of the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church and president of Coral Ridge Ministries. Discover how to apply biblical principles and transform your world through Jesus Christ. Why do secular scientists scoff at the biblical account of creation? It might surprise you to learn the answer is not due to science. Rather, it ultimately has to do with worldviews. You see, the first few chapters of Genesis totally contradict the atheistic notion that man is basically good and unaccountable to a creator God. But that's also the reason why we need to defend this record of our origins, as well as the Christian answer for what happened to the dinosaurs. That's what Dr. Kennedy's guest Ken Ham does today in today's program, part two of his recent message at Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, Dinosaurs and the Bible.
You realize ultimately every single biblical doctrine of theology, directly or indirectly, is founded in the history in Genesis 1 to 11. If you wanted to destroy the doctrines of Christianity and a culture, one of the best ways to do it is to attack Genesis 1 to 11, which is what has been done through the education system and the media. It's why there's such an emotional reaction by the ACLU and the humanists when people try to get creation taught in schools. Have you seen the emotional reaction in the newspapers and across the nation? That's why we've had a media frenzy just recently, because of some of the things that have happened. Look what happened in Cobb County. The school board put a sticker in the biology textbook that said, evolution is a theory. Actually, I wouldn't even call it a theory. A theory gives it credence. It's actually an hypothesis or a belief. But they said evolution is a theory and not a fact, and students should have an open and critical mind. And you know, I read the judge's 40-page brief where he said the sticker had to come out. You know what he basically said? He basically said this. Even though the sticker itself, as you read it, has what he calls a secular intent, because the people who put the sticker there are Christians, therefore they have a Christian intent, therefore the sticker can't be there. See, it's that clash of worldviews, isn't it? Between, as one newspaper put it, there's a godly America and a worldly America. If you believe in millions of years, many Christians, most Christian leaders in America say you can believe in millions of years. You believe in millions of years, it comes from the idea that the layers were laid down with the fossils over millions of years before man, but those layers are full of dead things. They're full of evidence of cancer, for instance. Do you think at the end of the sixth day of creation, God said everything was very good and the world's full of cancer? Have you noticed how, and one of the questions of the age is, how can there be a loving God when there's all this death and suffering in the world, like the tsunami and 9/11? Do you know most Christian leaders really can't give an answer because they don't understand about original sin and the entrance of death because of sin? It's only those who believe in literal Genesis who have the answers. So originally our diet looked more like that. Doesn't that look nice? It's from Australia, that's why. And so originally, when T-Rex was considering lunch, he was considering fruits and vegetables and so on. And here they are chomping away on fruit. Because some people say, Mr. Ham, wait a minute. Are you saying T-Rex with those sharp teeth ate plants and fruit? Yeah, but he's got sharp teeth. He's a meat eater. No, just because an animal has sharp teeth doesn't mean it's a meat eater. It just means it has sharp teeth. Are there many animals that live today that have sharp teeth that eat mainly plants? Yes, most bears. Most bears are primarily vegetarian. Look at their teeth. They look more like a lion or a tiger. What about the giant panda? You know, when I went to the San Diego Zoo, the guide said the panda evolved by evolution to get sharp teeth to eat meat, so now it can eat bamboo. Know what I said to my kids? Looks like it's designed to do what it does do, and what it does do very well, doesn't it? Don't you think? They thought it did. I did. Hope you do. We have a great time talking about these things. See, originally, animals even with sharp teeth, you need a sharp teeth. If you're going to eat the cantaloupe served in restaurants in America, you need sharp teeth. If you're going to eat potatoes and watermelons and just chomp away, of course you do. When Adam was told you could eat of all the trees, there's one you're not to eat of, because if you do, you'll surely die. We know when Adam took the fruit, this is from one of our children's books, where I made the fruit look like a hand grenade. And we have Adam taking the fruit. Do you know what I tell children? It's the saddest day in the history of the universe. Because when Adam took the fruit, everything changed. Everything changed. And you know what happened right there in the garden? God killed an animal and clothed Adam and Eve. Why did he do that? Well, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. The life of the flesh is in the blood. When God killed an animal, and at least one, and clothed Adam and Eve, it was really a picture of what was to come in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's the gospel being preached to Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:15 is the gospel, isn't it? Right there. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. There's the gospel being preached in Genesis. You see, death was the penalty for sin. And that's why we know the whole of creation groans. Man, it groaned on 9/11, didn't it? It groaned when the tsunami hit. It groans every day. You see, the point is, you can't have dead dinosaurs before sin. Because you can't have millions of years of death and disease before sin. You know, we've got to remember something. This is not the world that God made. It's the world he made, but it's changed because of sin. And so, animals started eating each other. Death and bloodshed entered the world. Violence. People rebelled. So much that God said he was going to send a flood. And he told a man called Noah to build a boat. A great big boat. And God said he was going to send to Noah two of every kind, seven of some, but two of every kind, land-dwelling, air-breathing animal, except the dinosaurs. It says that in Genesis 6. You ever read it? No, of course that's not there. I can't believe the number of Christians that say, well, dinosaurs weren't on the ark. Why not? Well, they were too big. Wait a minute. The average size of a dinosaur is the size of what? Sheep. Many of the small as what? Chickens. Now, it is true that some of the dinosaurs, like the sauropods, grew to be quite large. It's very possible as they grew, the older they got, they just genetically were able to grow to quite large animals. I don't think God probably would send senior citizens on the ark to repopulate the world. Don't you think he'd choose teenagers? I think he'd choose young adults. And by the way, most dinosaurs anyway were this sort of size. See, when dinosaurs laid eggs, the biggest egg's not that much bigger than a football. And so even when Stegosaurus hatched out of an egg, he wasn't that big. One dinosaur, when he hatched out of an egg, called Mosasaurus, was the size of a mouse. T-Rex, he could have hatched out of an egg and perched on your shoulder, nibbled on your ear for a while. You know, and then people say, but wait a minute, wait a minute. There are over 600 names of dinosaurs. How did Noah fit all the dinosaurs and all the other animals on the ark? Wouldn't it sink? Well, wait a minute. Do you know what these are? Dogs. You know what these are? Dogs. And these? Dogs. And these are dogs. And these are dogs. These are lesser dogs, but they're still dogs. Degenerate dogs, but they're dogs. Mutants, but they're dogs. I want you to understand that, okay? I'm going to talk a bit about that this week. By the way, do you know what evolutionists all agree? All dogs are related and go back to something like a wolf. It's just all the genetic variability that when you, you know, how do you get different breeds of dog? You separate them out and don't let them breed with each other to concentrate certain genes in certain breeds. Isn't that right? Well, the same thing happens out in the environment called natural selection. That's not evolution. Have you noticed something? Dogs always produce dogs. I've observed that. Hope you have. Do you know how many dogs Noah needed on the ark? Two. That's all he needed. And you can get all the varieties from two dogs. That's easy to understand. By the way, do you know that most students in high school don't understand that, aren't taught the correct genetics in regard to understanding natural selection, and they think it proves evolution? It's the opposite of evolution when you understand it. We need to get that information out there.
You can't teach an old dog new tricks, but you can educate your children on the truth of our origins. And that's why we're airing today's program, part two of Ken Ham's message, Dinosaurs and the Bible. He is Dr. Kennedy's guest, and we'll return for the conclusion of his insightful presentation in just a moment. First, though, is everything you've ever learned about dinosaurs a lie? Well, just about. If you're like most Americans, you've been taught that these large meat-eating creatures all died millions of years ago. But as you've heard over the past two broadcasts, that's not the case. In fact, there is a plethora of evidence that many dinosaurs were not carnivores and were fairly small in size. We invite you to check the evidence for yourself in Ken Ham's booklet, What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs? This carefully researched publication provides common sense answers to questions that have baffled many. For instance, what does the fossil record say about the age of dinosaurs? If they lived only thousands of years ago, why aren't there any today? And why does this debate matter so much anyway? Find out when you call and ask for What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs for a financial donation. And if you've never contacted us before, please consider it our gift to you. Our phone number is 1-800-229-WORD. That's 800-229-9673. I'll repeat this information later, but first, how could Noah have fit all those dinosaurs on the ark? Here with the answer is Ken Ham.
Now, with dinosaurs, there wasn't just one kind of dinosaur. You know, there are names given to the Triceratops kind, there were different names given to the sauropods, you know, Seismosaurus, Brachiosaurus, and so on. We think there was probably less than 50 dinosaur kinds. Actually, there was plenty of room on the ark for all the animals represented. Elephants, you didn't need stegomastodons, mastodons, Indian elephants, African elephants, you only needed two elephants. And give you a look at the size of the ark, there's a stegosaur in there. But you know the sad thing? A lot of Christians' children's books in Christian bookshops that we read our children on the walls of kindergartens across America in churches, I find a lot of times they make Noah's Ark look like an overloaded bathtub with giraffes sticking out the chimney about to sink at any moment. Now, while that might be cute, the world scoffs at those of us who believe in Noah's flood. The world doesn't want to believe in the flood. It was a judgment. The world doesn't want to believe in a flood because that would destroy their millions of years. The world doesn't want to believe in Noah's Ark. It was a picture of Jesus, a picture of salvation. Why help the world scoffs? And see, children know. When I say, would that ark fit all the animals? No. Would this one fit them? Yes. Would that ark survive the flood? No. Would this ark survive the flood? Yes. Here's a picture of Noah's Ark, and you can see some of the animals up there for scale and people. When children see that model of Noah's Ark in our office, they say, wow, it was real. And I also remind them, Noah's Ark was a picture of Jesus. Why do you want to make that look like a fairy tale? Because as Noah, you know, the last 7 days, the door of the ark was open. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Do you know what I think was going on? He was standing at that doorway. Come through the doorway to be saved. There's a judgment coming. God's word is true. Come through the doorway to be saved. And the people mocked. Ha! God's word's not true. There's not going to be a global flood. And then God shut the door. And you know, there's another judgment coming. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he'll be saved. He is our ark of salvation. And you know, because people deny there was a global flood and deny the ark of Noah, people reject the ark of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to tell them the truth. Well, then fountains of the great deep broke open all over the earth, tidal waves, earthquakes. Only those animals, including dinosaurs on the ark, were safe. Those that were outside drowned, covered by mud, turned into fossils. You'd expect to find billions of dead things buried in rock layers, laid down by water all over the earth. You see, think about it. If you can't have death before sin, then you can't have all those fossils laid down before man. It makes sense. Noah's flood explains most of those fossils. So when you go to the Grand Canyon, for instance, what we should be doing is saying, children, I know the evolutionists tell you it was a long time and a little bit of water, but I want to tell you it was a lot of water and a little bit of time. See, I'm looking through biblical glasses, and those layers are full of dead things. They couldn't have been laid down before Adam sinned. It makes sense that Noah's flood laid down the layers, and at the end of the flood, as God raised up the mountains, that area was raised up, and the water ran off and just eroded the surfaces and channeled out the Grand Canyon and left lakes behind it, and so all sorts of things happened. Do you know what's interesting? The more you look at the layers of the canyon and the canyon itself and do some investigation, as creation scientists have done, go to our website, there's all sorts of articles. The evidence is consistent with catastrophic burial and catastrophic formation of the canyon. Isn't it exciting being a Christian? See, we can study geology and show how it confirms the Bible's history. In our creation museum, we're actually building a cave where we'll be growing stalactites and stalagmites basically before your eyes. It's easy to do. It doesn't take millions of years. You can make them grow inches in a matter of days. See, we've been indoctrinated to believe in millions of years. Well, if dinosaurs went on the ark, they came off the ark after the flood. All lined up to have their photographs taken. And like typical American entrepreneurs, they sold t-shirts, "I survived the flood." And then, of course, they began to migrate around the earth, didn't they? And, of course, God gave different languages to people at the Tower of Babel, which caused people to move out from each other. Genesis 10 says, move out in groups according to their language. And I want to show you some evidence of, I believe, dinosaurs existing with people after the flood. But, you know, we had a passage of the Bible read before, which I believe talks about a dinosaur that existed at the time of Job, who lived after the flood. "Behold, behemoth, which I made with thee. He eats grass as an ox. His strength is in his loins. His force is in the navel of his belly." Everything about behemoth is big. He's a gigantic animal. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He's chief. Or, you know, that seems to be saying, as you analyze it carefully and study it carefully, he's the largest land animal God made. Ranks first among the works of God. He moves his tail like a cedar. Imagine the cedars of Lebanon. Think of the great cedar trees. What an enormous tail. You know what's interesting? Most Bible commentaries and Bible notes, for instance, in the NIV study Bible, it says this: possibly a hippopotamus or an elephant. Now, friends, I spent all day at the San Diego Zoo once getting a photograph of a rear end of an elephant. Behold, behemoth. The largest animal God made, with a tail like a cedar. That's ridiculous. That doesn't fit Job 40. Well, I tell you what, a hippopotamus sure comes close. Look at this. Behold, behemoth. You know, I like to have fun with children, and I say, look, here's a tail that looks like a cedar. What do you think of this? I don't think so. What do you think of this? Not at all. What about this? And they go, yeah! I do not believe behemoth was an elephant or a hippopotamus. I think behemoth... Why couldn't it be a sauropod dinosaur? You know why people think it can't be a sauropod dinosaur? Even a lot of modern translators and so on, they've been so influenced by evolution, man didn't live with the dinosaurs. I want you to have a look at this. Can you see the head there, the neck, the body, coming down here to this tail down here? What do you think that looks like? What would you say it looks like? Looks like a dinosaur. It's a carving done by Indians. Let me show you what an evolutionist said about that carving. There's a petroglyph or an Indian carving in National Bridges National Monument that resembles a dinosaur. Isn't that interesting? And just to show you the relative size of it, there's someone doing a wax cloth impression of it right there. You know, it's interesting. We talked to the park rangers. There's lots of other carvings there. What's this? Deer? What's this? Man? What's this? Bird? And we said, what's that one? We don't know. How about a dinosaur? No, dinosaurs didn't live with Indians. Were you there? You get the idea? There's another one from Utah. This is in National Bridges National Monument in Utah. By the way, in Utah, there's also a painting done by the Indians in Black Dragon Canyon of a giant flying creature with a crest on its head. It has giant wings. It doesn't have any feathers. The Indians didn't draw it like the picture at the top. They drew it like the one at the bottom. You know what that reminds me of? Pterodactyl. And you find pterodactyl bones in that area. And then you find interesting things like this. Here are red blood cells identified in a T-Rex bone by secular scientists, evolutionists in Montana, who got the shock of their lives because that bone's supposed to be 65 million years old. See, there's lots of things that just contradict what the evolutionists say. But then people say to me, okay, well, if you're saying they lived after the flood and so on, I didn't see a sign like this on the way to church. What happened? Well, they faded. You know, there's lots of theories as to what happened to the dinosaurs. You know, they died of indigestion, ate an American hamburger or something, or died of overeating, or went on one of those diets you see on TV, or died during the Ice Age, or got hit by an asteroid or meteorites. You know, Gary Larson has a theory. He thinks there was just too much smoke on the earth, and that's what happened to the dinosaurs. And let that be a warning to you. But you know what I tell children? You know what happened to the dinosaurs? It's easy. They died. Well, it's really not that big a mystery, is it? I mean, is it really a mystery? It's not that big a mystery. See, I want you to think about this. There are endangered species programs all over the world. And when you ask the scientists, why do you have endangered species programs? Look at all the animals that became extinct. And these, there's only a few in the wild. And this group here, there's only a few in captivity. Look at all the animals that became extinct. Oh, why do animals become extinct? Why? Everyone knows why animals become extinct. People clearing land and people killing them and diseases and catastrophes and all sorts of reasons why animals become extinct. Oh, what happened to the dinosaurs? Oh, we don't know. By the way, if you take a biblical perspective, sin and the curse affected the world, the flood affected the world, climates have been changing ever since, lots of animals became extinct, the dinosaurs became extinct, here we are today, most of the fossils are from the flood. What's the mystery? It's only a mystery if you believe in millions of years. But you know, I have the last one here as found, and I'll tell you why. It's very possible you could find a live dinosaur today. That's very possible. We haven't. But scientists find a plant or animal almost every year they didn't know existed on Earth. Did you know that? See this plant here? A Wallamai pine tree found in 1994 in Australia. You know why that shocked the scientists? The only place they've ever seen that was in the fossils with dinosaurs. And they thought it was extinct. You know what they called it? The dinosaur tree. You know what one scientist in Australia said? That'd be no different than finding a living dinosaur. And by the way, people say, do you find human bones with dinosaurs? Not that I know of yet. Well, then they didn't live with dinosaurs. Wait a minute, you don't find human bones with Wallamai pine tree fossils either. But we live with them because they live today. You don't find human bones with a coelacanth fish, and those bones exist with dinosaur fossils, but we live with a coelacanth fish today. But you know what I call dinosaurs? I call them missionary lizards. And I want to leave you with this thought. You see, here's a dinosaur bone. When you look at that bone through the Bible, we know it's dead. But death reminds us of what? Sin. For the wages of sin is what? Death. All have sinned because we're all descendants of Adam. So we're all separated from God. But God loved us so much, he sent his only Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God has raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. You know what, friends? Dinosaurs are used probably more than anything to convince young children that the Bible's not true. And you see, people often say to me, how can you use dinosaurs to preach the gospel? Oh, well, what you're doing is you're showing that the Bible explains dinosaurs, that science confirms what the Bible is saying, the Bible's history is true, and in doing so, you're also talking about the origin of death and the judgment of the flood and the ark of salvation. And do you see how you can use dinosaurs to present the gospel? And you know, we need to do that sort of thing because our children really are being indoctrinated. And I want to leave you with this thought as we hand back for the closing of the service. 1 Peter 3:15, you're all familiar with that verse, aren't you? Where we're told, always be prepared to give an answer, to give a defense of the faith. And I wonder how many of us really know how to answer the questions of the world. We need to know how to answer those questions to equip our children to witness to our neighbors and our friends. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. Help us, Lord, to be able to stand upon it without compromise. And Lord, help us to be equipped so that we can defend the faith. We can give a logical defense as your word tells us to do. And so that we can be a better witness to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So are you ready with answers? Are you better able to face the attacks of skeptics who deny the Bible's accuracy as a result of listening to today's program? Dr. Kennedy's guest the past two broadcasts has been Ken Ham, president of Answers in Genesis, and we hope he's equipped you with the firepower you need to confront those unbelievers in your life. It would be helpful to review this message in its entirety, so stay tuned in just a moment. I'll tell you how to get an audio cassette. First, though, let me tell you about another resource by today's speaker, his helpful booklet, What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs? That's one question that has long troubled many Christians who are often bowled into silence. Wouldn't you like to not only be ready with an answer, but also be able to put that unbelieving friend or family member on the defensive? Well, now you can in this heavily documented, easy-to-read resource. Ask for What Really Happened to the Dinosaurs? For a financial donation to this ministry. And as a special invitation to our first-time callers, We'll send it with our compliments. Our phone number is 1-800-229-WORD. And don't forget to ask how you can become a member of Dr. Kennedy's Producers Guild. That's 800-229-9673. Or request it online at truthsthattransform.org, where you'll find information on the Creation Museum mentioned in today's program. Be sure and include an additional gift of $5 or more for an audio cassette of Ken Ham's entire presentation, Dinosaurs and the Bible. Our phone number is 800-229-WORD. That's 800-229-9673. And our website, truthsthattransform.org. Finally, Jesus said, love your enemies. But what if those enemies murdered your father in cold blood? Find out how one man reconciled with his father's killers this weekend on the Coral Ridge Hour. Until next time, may the truths in God's Word continue to transform your heart. Views expressed by guests on this program are not necessarily those of Coral Ridge Ministries, Dr. D. James Kennedy, or this station.